Hi, and welcome to another episode of Pasha. My name is Nontobe Gumtshali. Thank you for joining us. Anatomy schools in universities across Africa run body donation programs, and the practice is becoming more and more common. To tell us more about body donation programs are two academics at Wits University in South Africa. We have PhD candidates Kimberly Tommy and lecturer Dr. Brendan Billings. They discuss why more people should donate their bodies to science and how it works.
So the body donation program essentially is a transition into a more ethical way of obtaining cadavers for teaching and learning. So obviously, if you think about it, you might want a surgeon who's operating on you to have had an experience working with human remains before. So this is why it becomes important. It's important for students because it is their first, oftentimes their first introduction to death. Some students might not have ever seen a dead body before. This is also where they get their training on dead bodies, on actual living tissue, well, human tissue. And for someone like me, for example, this was my first year as a student working with a cadaver, and I don't think that experience could ever be replicated using maybe like 3D or plastic models. It's a completely different feeling. It also gives you a little bit more experience in terms of how to deal with that and process that emotionally, and gives that human-to-human aspect. So you gain a deeper appreciation and respect for not only the people who have donated their bodies for this use, but also the human body in general.
So body donation is used as a vehicle for education and training for medical professionals with the use of cadaver-based teaching, specifically relating to dissection. Cadavers refer to human remains in order for a doctor or any medical professional to understand or to acquire skills within their specific profession that require a sound knowledge of anatomy. And in order to gain a sound knowledge of anatomy, best practice includes dissection of a cadaver. So this would speak to your surgeons, your doctors, your physiotherapists, down to your pharmacists, who would require a good foundational knowledge in anatomy. And they do this with the use of cadavers. And we get our cadavers from this body donor program.
So more people should do it in South Africa, especially because we'd want our healthcare professionals to be trained on what they would see. So if you only have a small demographic or age group represented, it means that students aren't gaining the full experience. So this is why it becomes important. You might see diseases that are prevalent in older people, or something that could happen to younger people, and you'd want to be familiar with all of this before you enter any field that you are participating in the health sciences. So this is why more people should be donating, and hopefully from different backgrounds, so that we do have this variation, so that we train the best possible medical professionals, researchers, so that we get a lot more insight into the human anatomy.
There are ethical questions that must be asked when a body is donated, right?
So in the body donor program, your identity is not disclosed to any of the students that will be dissecting, as well as any of the researchers. So essentially, because of ethical implications, you don't want people who are working with the bodies to be able to identify the person.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the issue of privacy. You know, the donors donate their remains with the understanding that we will treat the remains with respect, that we will not distribute any personal information about that individual. That really falls into the ethics. But if I can just extend in relation to ethics around it, anatomy in general has a very controversial past. The value of using a human body for medical practice is essential, but how you source those remains becomes a problem when you look at it in terms of ethics. So if you look at it historically, we had grave robbings, execution of criminals, a multitude of dubious actions to source the remains. And hence the body donor program looks toward utilizing informed consent. The individual knows exactly what will be done with their remains in terms of teaching, in terms of research. And they are donating it as a gift in relation to propagation of science, the propagation of good medical practice. And us as anatomists and students of anatomy need to apply ethical practice in the way we utilize this remains.
So what happens to the body after the research is done?
A lot of people they have queries about this, because in donating your body, there is the question of, can I have a funeral for my relative, or how is this going to work? And in some cases, the school has been requested to allow the embalmed body to be present at a memorial, after which it's transported back to the school. So there's no real ruling against it. It is something that can be discussed with the school. Obviously, we would like to ensure that the cadaver has been embalmed, if that is the case. I think Brendan can elaborate a little bit more on that, but the remains can be returned to the family.
At any stage, family can request for the remains to be returned or repatriated. This is a rule of thumb. So, you know, even though we utilize the body for teaching and research, the donor and the family of the donor can always retract in terms of wanting the remains to either not be used or the family wanting the remains back. In certain instances, we have repatriated remains based on the wishes of the family. In terms of what happens to the body after we utilized it, so just to give you some context, in most cases, we will use a cadaver for a year. And that would be for teaching predominantly, as well as research. The donor then can make a decision as to whether or not they would want the remains to be returned to the family after that year, or if the school can continue using that remains for teaching. So, for example, you could macerate the remains and use the skeleton for an indefinite period of time. The skeleton is then utilized for forensic research, for example, and so the gift keeps on giving in that type of context. For those who would like for the family to get the remains at the end of the year, what we would do is we, at our own cost, would cremate the remains and we would return the ashes back to the family as per the donor's request.
Is it important to note how the person passed away?
This is important because it will actually affect the embalming process. So, for example, if it is a motor vehicle accident or someone has died on an operating table and has had an open wound. So through the process of perfusion, which is when all the blood is extracted from the body, and then the embalming process itself, having those open wounds would not do well in terms of preserving the body. So in that instance, yes, if there's an autopsy required where, say, it's a homicide or a suicide or whatever the case is, and there's anything that has been opened and has not healed, we can't embalm the body then.
Yeah, so just to actually pick up from Kimberly's point, so there's two aspects to what we would accept in terms of the remains. The one is legislative. So Kim spoke to homicide, suicide, motor vehicle accidents. By law, this has to go to the morgue for a forensic autopsy. And so we are not allowed to take those remains. It also makes the point that open wounds, so if you died from a specific surgery, for example, and there are open wounds in relation to, we will not accept the body either. And the reason for that is what Kimberly explained, the perfusion process in effect would put the students at risk if we accepted a body with open wounds, because there would still be pockets of blood in certain areas based on the perfusion and embalming process. The second aspect is, you know, if a body passed away from HIV, we are not privy to this information. Death certificate would not declare if an individual was HIV positive. An individual is not obliged to give us this information. So we would accept the body as if it had HIV. In fact, we accept all bodies as if they have HIV. And our procedures and processes to maintain safety would avoid that. So for example, perfusion includes us draining all of the blood out of the cadaver. The cadaver is then fixed with embalming fluid, which is a cocktail of chemicals that preserves the tissue. And the body is also then kept in storage for about 3 to 6 months prior to students dissecting. There are, however, certain communicable diseases that we have on our information sheet that we will not accept.
Body donation programs are critical to learning and understanding how people function. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Pesha, produced by Ozea Patel. From me, Nondobe Gomjali, it's bye for now.